afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Chair Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and it's great to be here today. We'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So get ready, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just great. Thank you very much.
I've got a little sore throat.
I'm
going to let you do all the talking today.
You have a little sore throat?
A little bit of a sore throat.
Oh, my goodness.
Which can be a challenge for a radio show.
Yes. Did you talk too much this weekend?
Could be.
Uh-huh.
Could
have happened to all of us, huh?
Uh-huh. It sort of makes you be careful about when you choose to speak.
Yes, it does. Yes, indeed. Well,
which
as
might be
you
a
know,
good thing.
Me doing all the talking is rarely a problem, so I'll help you out as best I can.
Wonderful. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. If you'd like to email us when we're not on the air, we'd love to hear from you. Email address is openair@livingcommunity.org. Archives of all the shows are right here on worldtalkradio.com. Sherry, we have a caller. Shall we jump right in?
Let's do.
I'd like to welcome Kate from Kansas City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Kansas City.
Hi.
Kate, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Let me turn up my phone. I'm having trouble hearing you. Bear with me, okay?
Okay.
There we go. I think that's better. Can you hear me?
Excellently.
Thanks. I'm calling because I have been sort of having a rough time and just different things going on.
Uh-huh.
And,
and what?
Well, tears start coming up, so I was just trying to breathe.
I see. Okay.
Sorry. Today I went to the doctor and I had made the decision to maybe try some medication to support me during this time, and I'm just getting really beaten up about that.
Hmm. Okay. So there are voices inside, I'm guessing, because generally speaking, people outside don't beat us up for those things.
No.
So there are voices inside telling you that medications are bad.
Right.
And you're a bad person for taking them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That I shouldn't be doing that. It's the wrong thing to do. It's a failure that somehow I'm not practicing enough, or just all that stuff.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the part that is so interesting to me about that is, and my response, the response that to me captures it most perfectly is, so what?
Yeah.
So what? Okay. If you were a different person, this wouldn't be happening. If you were in a different place in your life, if you something were different, this wouldn't be happening.
Right.
And the point of that is, because of course, what we know is, it is happening.
Right.
So, having a conversation about how this proves something about you is just kind of a waste of time, isn't it? Because if that conversation, if those beatings would mean you were different,
right,
then, you know, we might say, well, that's kind of worth it. You know, I'll get a little beating and then I'll feel great.
Right.
Then I won't need any extra support. I won't need any medication. I won't have any problems. Great. Okay, sign me up. I'll have a little beating. But
right.
In fact, you're having a hard time. You feel like you need support. And you're getting these irrelevant, not helpful, just downright unpleasant and mean beatings.
It is. It's being pitted against. And I'm watching myself get caught and believing it around. It's just not appropriate. I mean...
But my point is still the most valid one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just irrelevant. You know, it's like you walk out into the street and you get hit by a car.
Right.
And somebody starts saying, you know, if you hadn't stepped off the curb, if you hadn't been on the street, if you hadn't gotten out of bed this morning, if you lived in another city, well, okay, we could even say all of that is true. But
what
good does it do?
It certainly doesn't feel good.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to just mean that you need more medication. You're going to need more support. You're going to need something for your nerves along with everything else. Right? And
right.
So, I mean, we both know that the point of that beating is to make you feel bad. Those voices beating you up do not care whether you take medication or don't take medication as long as you can get a beating.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely true. And so, you know, it comes down to that hard place of how long are you going to let them do this to you?
And so what do you... I'm sitting and I'm journaling and I'm getting an arm's length and I'm process mapping, and do you just keep doing those things?
Well, what I do personally, I learned that I don't have to listen to those voices. That I can do a process. You know, we kid about the first person who invents earplugs for those voices inside the head, you know, is going to be a wealthy person.
Yeah.
But an alternative, until those get invented, is to simply prove to yourself, to train yourself, to learn how to practice not giving your attention to those voices. Without your attention, they don't exist. Now, as you've noticed, they are extremely skilled at catching and keeping your attention.
Right.
Okay? And it is possible for you to practice retrieving your attention, taking it back from them, and keeping it for yourself. And I would encourage you to make that a practice second only to breathing.
And what does that look like?
What that looks like is there's a voice that starts, and you turn your attention away from it. Now, if turning your attention back to the breath is not enough, then you can, you know, that little thing that we do about as I breathe in, I'm with the breath. As I breathe out, I'm with the breath. May all beings be free.
Yeah.
As I breathe in, I'm with the breath. As I breathe out, I'm with the breath. May all beings be happy. And then in suffering. And then... feel joy and find peace. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just do that 24 hours a day. Every time you hear a voice start, every time you realize you've turned your attention to something hateful that's being said, what you do is, oh my goodness, somebody's cell phone is ringing. Could it be mine? Every time that happens, you turn your attention back to that little saying, and you breathe. You hear another voice, you turn your attention back to your breath, and you start saying your little saying. You say it when you're driving, you say it when you're walking, you say it when you're whatever. Instead of, because have you noticed that when you're engaged in a conversation like this, those voices have limited access to you. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah. And in fact, I can generally tell by the length of time it takes for you to respond to me how much mm-hmm. you're attending to them instead of to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you're right there in the conversation, then when it's your time to say something, you're right there, right?
Right.
Because you've been listening along, and you know it's your time to respond. Because generally speaking, I've asked you a question, or I've asked you to look at something, or okay? So you're right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, if when we hang up the phone, when you do, then the voices will have more access to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you know that. You know that anytime you're not directly engaged with someone or something else, they're going to attempt to get 100% of your time and attention. So at those times, you are focused on coming back to the breath, saying your little thing.
Okay.
Okay? And to the degree that you do that, they will begin to fall away because they only have the energy you give them. You don't give them your attention, they don't have an existence.
Okay.
All right. You'll
Thank
let us know
you.
How it goes.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us, Kate. You're listening to Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to hear from Kate today. And Sherry, that conversation was very rich for me.
Uh-huh.
That, so what?
Yeah.
Just kind of cuts through it all.
It really does. Like because almost everything that those voices are beating people up about is from the past.
Yep.
And of course it has to be from the past because those voices don't live in the present. So that's why getting into the present is so effective as a way of getting away from them. And if you stay in the present, they can't come into the present and get you.
Mm-hmm.
They're always wanting to bring you out into a conversation about the past or the future.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, all right, okay, so, you know, I messed up all my life. I did this wrong and that wrong. And I should have done this, and if I'd made a difference. Okay, so what? How does that help us now? And of course, again, it so obviously has nothing to do with the content of what happened, because if it were content-based, then what the voice would be saying is, you know, you didn't handle back then. You need to hop on that right now. So come on, you know, get out your pen and your paper or pick up that phone and call or, you know, start doing your jumping jacks or whatever it is, you know, take care of it now so that you can be successful in this moment.
Uh-huh.
But instead, in this moment, I'm being talked into a review of my failures from the past or having those projected out in the future so that I'm anxious and scared about what's going to happen. And, you know, and then this moment turns into to the same moment.
Yeah.
So I talk to people, I don't know if we've had this conversation, but especially women who will say, you know, I hate the way my body looks, or I hate it that I'm overweight. And they go back 10 years in their life, and they were doing the exact same process, even though they weighed less and were in better shape.
Uh-huh.
Go back 10 more years, they weighed less, they were in better shape. The voices were saying the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I hate my body, I hate it that I'm overweight.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a process.
Uh-huh.
It's not actually related to what's going on. So, you know, now I look back in that way and think, boy, I wish I had that body now.
10 years later.
That's right. Well, 10 years from now, I'm going to wish I had this one. So I might as well get on with enjoying it now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. We just got it.
And fascinating to see that same process over 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if that's not evidence of the process.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure what is.
Yeah. And it's just so crazy. It's so crazy that we waste our time and energy on this relationship with this voice that has one purpose in life, and that is to make us miserable.
That is to what?
Make us miserable.
Make us miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we do it?
Yes.
You know, I can see why we do it until we catch on to it. But even after we've caught on to it, you know, I mean, I can't speak for every culture, but, you know, the people in this country are some driven folks.
Yeah.
You know, some get it done, take care of business, make things happen kind of people.
Yes.
Now, you would think that once we got on to, okay, there's this voice inside your head that hates you and is trying to make your life miserable and will tell you any number of lies. It doesn't matter how outrageous they need to be to make you feel bad. They're going to tell them in order to make you feel bad. Now, are you okay with that? Would you like to turn your attention to, you know, eradicating that weed from your garden?
Yes.
You know, it's just what I was saying with Kate. We've got to make it job one.
Yes.
We have to make it our top priority because we and our misery are its top priority.
Yes.
So, you know, if you have somebody trying to scam you and you are their one and only client and you've got all this stuff doing in your life, you know, all this stuff going on, sooner or later, they're going to scam you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to slip one in when you're not looking. You're over here looking at this, and they're only doing one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little kid or like a dog who wants something. You know, they're single-pointed in their focus, and that's why they're successful in a way that we are not.
Yeah.
We're scattered in our focus, and this kind of stuff is just right there, hammering away at us all the time.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness. So keep it tuned here and give us a call to talk with Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. And if you want to email us when we're not on the air, you can reach us by email at openair@livingcompassion.org. Sherry, I was thinking about something else that you were talking about with Kate. How long are you going to let those voices do that to you?
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of what you were talking about just before we went to break about, you know, once we're aware that this is going on, what is it that prevents us from making this the top priority?
Yeah. 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 And, of course, you know, in Buddhism we talk about it as having suffered enough.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it's hard to imagine that that's what's going on.
Yes.
You know, because it feels like I've suffered enough. Surely I have suffered enough with this. But, you know, I think what happens is I suffer over it. You know, okay, in this moment I've suffered enough. But then I get distracted, I get caught up, maybe something goes well, I forget about it, and then, boom, it's back in my face again and I'm miserable again. And we can see in all of our lives how we kind of do that. We tend to do things in response to necessity.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I just spend money like crazy until, whoops, you know, I need to budget here. I need to bring some attention to this. Or, you know, I just eat like crazy until my clothes don't fit anymore. Or I I meditate and then I stop and then my life stops working and so I start meditating again.
Yeah.
And so that reaction sort of approach to life, you know, I'll just sort of go unconscious and do what I want to do until I'm required to pay attention because I'm unhappy with the way things are going.
Uh-huh.
And with what I'm suggesting, it's necessary for us to say, so if we do the, you know, if we do the money thing, or the eating thing, you know, if I'm going to not grow out of my clothes, if I'm gonna feel strong and healthy and fit and all of that sort of thing, I have to be conscious of everything I eat.
Yeah.
I can't just say, oh, that looks good, I'll eat that. I'm in a conversation, I'm not paying attention, and pretty soon, you know, I've eaten everything on my plate and yours. I listen to the voices that say, oh, this is special, you know, you should have the with the cream sauce and the, you know. I've got to know that every moment of my life, every choice that I make has to be for me.
Uh-huh.
And what we're conditioned to believe is that that voice that says, oh, have the cream sauce, or, oh, go ahead and buy that, or, you know, that much credit card debt is normal in America. That voice is not actually taking care of me.
Uh-huh.
That voice is actually rooting for my suffering,
uh-huh,
not for my well-being. Because people will say, well, you know, where's the fun in that? If I have to watch what I eat all the time, well, you know, if I have a year-old baby, I'm going to watch what that baby eats all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just say, here, little baby, here are all of the things that a person could ingest. Now, you pick the ones that that you're attracted to, and you just go ahead and set up a diet for yourself. I would know that's not loving.
Yes.
So is it hard to be diligent about what a child eats in order for that, you know, to have the best chance of that child growing up to be healthy? Yeah, it's work, but it's called love, a labor of love. It's what we do when we care about something. And it's caring about ourselves in that way that says, it's worth it to me. I care enough about this person to be present to this person all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, the bottom line point of that is it's only egocentric karmic conditioning that says it's a misery. It's boring, it's awful, it takes the fun out of life always to be present and conscious. No, it adds the joy to life. Being present and conscious is a joyful way to be alive. Being lost in egocentric karmic conditioning, indulging in its idea of this will feel good, this will make you happy, is a miserable way to live.
Yeah.
You know, buy more of those. You know, go more unconscious in this area. Eat this thing that will make you feel terrible. You know, it's just not a good plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're a country devoted to that plan, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sherry, as you were talking, it reminds me, you know, conditioned mind is so smart and so subtle. And I remember you talking about all of the entrances marked exits or vice versa.
Yes.
And the willingness and the work and the attention that's required to wake up.
Yes. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
And the rewards are even greater.
Yes.
It does take a tremendous... You know, again, how we got the idea that not doing anything, not participating, is the way to have a fun life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, how did we get the idea? I mean, look at Madison Avenue. Look at, you know, all of the advertising is... all you have to do is be young and thin and attractive and have a lot of money, and then everything in life is wonderful. You know, there you are flying down the road in your convertible, you know, with the breeze blowing through your perfect hair and your perfect outfit, and, of course, you never get skin cancer, and Your skin never wrinkles or any of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so this idea that's the ideal life is just always pursuing fun.
Yeah.
And fun has a certain look to it, a certain tone.
Yeah.
And so what's fun is not fully participating, being engaged in with your fellow beings, doing something that you feel really good about, you know, giving your best to something, putting your whole heart and soul into something that you love. That's not seen as, I mean, that's not even interesting enough to get documentaries. Documentaries, but that's about it.
So,
you know, with that kind of idea about life, then having to go up against, you know, my blonde hair blowing out behind me as my BMW convertible races down the road to try to bring consciousness to what I eat, you know, let's look at those two things and see which one seems fun and which one doesn't seem
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sad bill of goods that that people have been sold and that they bought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have a caller.
Oh, goody.
I'd like to welcome Rebecca from Austin, Texas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello, Rebecca from Austin, Texas. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
Great.
I like that y'all. That way we can tell that you really are from Austin, Texas.
It's really deep in me.
Rebecca, can you speak up as loud as you can there?
Yeah, is that better?
That's better.
Okay, great.
What's going on?
Well, I got caught up when you were talking about... I think it was after Katie called in that this has to be job one.
Uh-huh.
And that, for some reason, that really hooked me. And it reminds me of the voices that have been kind of going at me that I'm just not serious enough about my practice and there's so much more I should be doing and here I am in this city where it's so supported and all of this stuff. So I'm recognizing that, and what came up was how quiet the other voice, the supportive voice is, you know?
What we would talk about as the mentor?
Yes,
uh-huh.
The mentor is just so quiet.
Now, is the mentor quiet, or is nobody, here's the thing. So here we are sitting around the table. Now, egocentric karmic conditioning is, leaning forward, elbows on the table, pounding periodically, talking nonstop. Okay, that's conditioned mind's contribution to our round table discussion.
Yes.
The mentor is just sitting there observing it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there you are at the table, and... In the beginning, of course, you're just, as we all are, just completely captivated by this this filibuster. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And then after a while, you realize you've heard that. We've heard that. You said that. You made that point. Okay,
uh-huh.
Got it. And your attention begins to kind of wander to this other person
uh-huh.
who's sitting at the table not saying anything.
Uh-huh.
Now, you notice that other person is not interjecting, trying to talk over, get a word in, is just sitting there, just observing.
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to engage that person in conversation, you're going to have to start the conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move my attention.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, in fact, I was just, I just noticed, I was in the Austin Zen Center about a week or two ago, and just really, you know, attending to these voices that were telling me I wasn't doing enough and all of that. And I saw a sign-up sheet for a session, and just without any commentary, anything, just reached up and signed up for the thing.
And then what did the voices have to say?
It was like it just blew it all. It was all just dead. You know, it was like, okay. You know, it's kind of like... when you catch a kid with their hand in the cookie jar, it's just like dead, like a deer caught in the headlights, you know.
Yeah. And did the voice then immediately start backpedaling? Or is it fine? You're going to go ahead and do it? It hasn't started in with, you can't do that. That's too much time. You're not going to be able to do that. You can't sit for that long. How are you going to be able to?
Yeah, it took about an hour before that started.
an hour where it was just in shock.
It was, well, because I'd caught it, exactly. And then it was, gosh, that's an entire weekend. I don't think your body can handle that, you know,
yep.
just all of this stuff.
Yep. And of course, you can comfort it with, yeah, but I'm doing more about my practice.
Yeah.
Just as you said I should.
But what grabbed me, what was so interesting to me was just without any effort, how effortlessly the sign-up came. You know, it was like
yes.
there was not a big debate. There didn't need to be a big side. It was just, oh, here's an opportunity. Yeah, that's a good weekend. Boom, I'm there.
Yes, yes.
It was really quite incredible.
And I would say that, of course, you caught conditioned mind off guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still rolling along on the you should be doing more. You know, your attention went to that sign up, and in that moment, boom.
Uh huh.
And then, as you said, about an hour later,
yeah.
conditioned mind got in gear for, wait a minute, you can't, you know, so the effortlessness of having the attention away from conditioned mind and being right where you are.
Yes, yes, just being right. Well, I love that image of sitting around a table because those moments make me hungrier for that relationship. You
yeah.
know, it's like every time I catch it, it just whets my appetite for more.
Yes.
You know?
And so I would encourage you to begin to actively pursue an ongoing, very intimate relationship
mm-hmm.
with the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So that the two of you are in such constant conversation,
mm-hmm.
and you know, all your conversation doesn't have to be verbal.
Yeah.
But you're in. Is communion the word that I want?
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, that there's really no room for conditioned mind to intrude itself into that relationship.
Well, and it's
now like, it's just the opposite of that.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like that one is the exception, not the rule.
Yes.
And so it's maybe that's why what you said with Katie grabbed me, that it's got to be job one.
Yes. And the thing is, there's no content to that job one. It doesn't mean you have to be sitting on your cushion more. It doesn't mean you have to be doing anything extraordinary in your life. It means you need to be present now.
Mm-hmm.
Not all it means really is breaking that addiction to conditioned mind and coming into the present.
Wow. Yeah.
That's deepening to me, that's deepening your practice.
Yeah, that's very good.
But conditioned mind says, oh well, that means you need to go out to the Zen Center 5 nights a week, and and then, you know, the people in my life aren't going to like that, and I can't do that. Or you have to go every morning, but you can't do that because, you know.
Exactly.
So then you're in this bind of it's specific content, specific things you have to be doing. You can't do them, therefore you're not doing your practice.
Yeah.
But your practice is just paying attention and being present.
It's always simpler than ego would have us think.
Always.
Yeah. Great. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World. We're at the end of our second segment here, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation about conscious compassion and awareness in our third and final segment of today's show. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have some news about our beloved radio show here.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Tell us.
Well, we're going to be moving to an hour later time slot.
Our old original time slot.
Our old original time slot, 2 weeks from today. We'll be starting at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Isn't that fun?
I think it's fun.
Yeah. I hope that works out really well for people. When we originally changed time slots, you know, it was kind of a shock.
Yes.
And then after enough time goes by, we sort of get used to it.
Yes.
And then I hope it's not too much of a shock to go to our to our new old time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it will be more convenient for more people.
Yes. Now, are we going to send out an email to everybody telling them?
No doubt.
Okay, good.
If not, 10.
Yeah, right.
we want them to know.
Yes, we definitely want people to know.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right, so next week, 5 o'clock.
No, in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, 5 o'clock.
In 2 weeks, 5 o'clock.
Okay, I can possibly remember that.
I'll remind you.
Thank you. I was going to say, with a lot of reminders from you.
That's Tuesday, March 22nd. We'll be starting at 5 p.m. Pacific Time for Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Lovely.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Lovely.
Lovely, yes.
I'm excited.
The phone lines are open here. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call toll-free and tell us how you're doing, what's going on in your life, and what's up for you. Phone number is 888-514-2100. Again, that's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. Sherry, I thought it was fascinating in your conversation with Rebecca, that awareness that, you know, conditioning is really sitting there loud at the table and really just grabbing as much attention as it can get.
Uh-huh. That is kind of a fun image, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And really seems quite realistic for me, in my experience.
Yeah.
Because when I'm not paying attention, that's the only information I'm getting.
Exactly.
It's this voice that's shouting at me or yelling at me or whatever.
Yeah, and of course, usually when somebody is attending to conditioning, it's somebody fairly young.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the... Now, it's not the grown-up part of us who is trying to wake up and in suffering. It's some four-year-old and who's being told you're doing it wrong, you're a bad person, this is what you did, this is what you did, this is what you did. So here's this really loud, aggressive, pretty hateful, let's face it, very hateful person, and talking to someone who is young and really doesn't know any better, and everybody else seems to have, you know, gone unconscious, left the table, whatever. And it's a very painful place to be in life. That's why, as the person devoted to waking up and ending suffering, we got to stay at the table
uh-huh.
so that we can intervene.
Yes, yes. Sherry, it occurred to me as you were talking that some people listening might not have a real grasp of everything that we're talking about. Sort of
I would bet that that's the case.
From a sort of, you know, foundation sense, we're talking about what's going on internally.
We just kind of leap off into Zen land here and go from mountain peak to mountain peak. So, yes, there are a few steps in there, aren't there?
Yeah, and I was wondering maybe if you could talk a little bit about aspects of the personality, because that seems like an important part of what you're looking at there.
Yeah, yeah. So that statement that what often happens is a four-year-old is left there.
Uh-huh.
And that's the case throughout the day. In fact, in the email class that we're doing, I'm getting ready to do a segment on aspects of the personality, because it's not just what's going on in life. So it's not just, say, with you, it's not just what's going on in your life that matters. What's really determining your experience of it is who is there for what's going on.
Yeah.
So if we have the grown man who practices conscious compassionate awareness, then, you know, you're driving along and suddenly the tire goes flat and you're going to be late, and that's one experience. If you are driving along and you're kind of in a conversation with the conditioned mind about what a basic flawed human you are, and then the tire goes flat and everybody kind of bails out, and here's this little kid who's completely overwhelmed, doesn't know what to do, is anxious, frightened, is being beaten up on, that's a very different life experience.
Yeah.
So much of our practice is finding those various aspects of the self who were traumatized at different, you know, periods in life and got stuck there in time and space, and bringing them in without leaving them in charge.
Uh-huh.
So one of my favorite personalities is called Annie. And she's about 7 or 8 years old, I guess, something like that. And she just loves babies and small animals.
Uh-huh.
And basically, she never comes out. You know, she never shows up in my personality except in those situations. She never comes out with other adults.
Uh-huh.
Because she sees other adults as unsafe, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, she's not an adult. She's, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And we have, everybody has many of these personalities.
Uh-huh.
They're delightful. They're fun. They give us an aspect of ourselves to relate to any situation in life. You know, most of us have an athlete. We have a family member, you know. So in your case, you're a son.
Yeah.
You're a brother.
Yeah.
You're a partner.
Yeah.
You're so all of these different kinds of relationships, you have friends, and you're different with your friends than you are with your partner, than you are with your mother, than you are, you know. So they're fun people to have available to us.
Yeah.
But we don't want to abandon them and leave them in charge of making difficult life decisions.
Uh-huh.
And a difficult life decision can be as simple as, what to eat for dinner.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because I have one subpersonality who would answer very quickly, ice cream.
Ice cream.
That would be her idea of a good dinner.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, she's just not the one to stand in the kitchen and make a decision about what we're going to eat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, so all of these different aspects of us are at play at lots of different times.
Oh, constantly.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so maybe some of them will show up next week.
Yeah, and people can call in and tell us about it.
That's exactly right.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers today. It was great to hear from you. And a reminder that in 2 weeks, we'll be starting at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 1 hour later than our current time. So please join us then. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
Goodbye.
Good night.